Doug.
There's nowhere I wouldn't go to help someone customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, even if it means sitting front row at a comedy show.
Hey, everyone, check out this guy and his bird. What is this, your first date?
Oh, no. We help people customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual together. We're married. Ah! Me to a human, him to a bird.
Yeah, the bird looks out of your league anyways.
Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Notice, notice, this midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
What if we just did this for 20 minutes because there's nobody?
All 20 minutes because because Jesse's not here.
Yeah,
guys, it's been a while. Yeah,
yeah. I guess last week was New Year's Eve when we were recording.
Yes,
and so we ended up not doing a minisode, and then this time Jesse's at MAGFest, and so I don't know. I guess I didn't realize. Okay, if you are in the multiverse of in the Cox and Crendor multiverse. Geekenders had a whole bit today about Jesse sounding like he was lisping in the microphone.
Yeah.
He had like some new setup because he was at MAGFest and he was doing something remote. And when we were listening to him, I heard him at first, his mic sounded like shit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, how about now? And then suddenly in my ears, dude sounded like my microphone.
He sounded really good. He did sound like he had a minor lisp only on his S's. And he immediately in the beginning said he had cotton mouth from like traveling and weed. So I had assumed.
So you that was just because
I just thought he had cotton mouth the whole time. And I wasn't going to be rude to him and be like, Jesse, brother, you sound like you got a lisp. When he's just like barely awake, he's sipping his water. You know, he's doing what he could. I didn't realize it was a tech issue.
Chaotic Cornerfest. Every time we do Cornerfest, a bunch of crazy shit happens.
His audio quality is good. That's the thing. It was literally just when his S's came on. It was like a weird, like lisp sounding thing.
You know what it probably was is that like he had a brand new thing and he probably just didn't have the like noise filter. Cause like if you're a normal person and you're using this type of shit that we're using to record all this shit, you need noise canceling because maybe your baby's screaming and taking a shit in the background or your dog Smitty is literally crying every time that the neighbors outside open their fucking door.
Not Smitty, dude.
Yeah. But I don't know. For us, you got to turn all that shit off because we have really nice sensitive microphones and they don't do well with like noise canceling filters.
And Jesse literally walked into his hotel room, sat down and turned the computer on to record.
Within minutes.
Not even a joke. Like there was not yet. Like you literally, he's not kidding. Within minutes, Jesse popped into his hotel room, put on his mic and started recording. So like
in a way, he saved Cornerfest, but in another way, he saved Cornerfest. Okay, so I have one that I've been doing rejected Cornerfests.
Yes.
Because Cornerfest is rejected episodes. So this was like, I thought, it's like Pets on Neopets. And then there's Pets too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. There's a whole market
They should make a movie just about that. It should be like Into the Spider-Verse, but it should be just about pets that have pets that have pets that have pets.
Dude, I don't know why they haven't done like Neopets Tamagotchis.
I think they did.
Did they?
I think that was like a thing back in the day.
Anyway, continue. Okay.
So this was a mystery that like, I didn't know how to like tell this story in not like just a few seconds.
Sure.
Not seconds, but minutes. But like, it was like, I know some of the Cornerfest segments were short, but I felt like each one had like a little blast of weirdness that like had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And this one has like a beginning and a middle. And the premise is amazing. But I feel like if I wait a little longer, maybe it will pay off later into something larger.
Okay.
But as of August, I'm still just watching this story. And I have to tell you about it because it's so interesting. I was going to read the LA Times article that I had prepared, but it wants to charge me for it now. And I can't get around the paywall. And so I am going to read the New York Post in a satire, in a political statement. I'm going to be reading the New York Post version instead of the LA Times version.
Oh, fuck.
So, okay. There's this guy. He is a pilot from California. He is retired. His name is Jason Hong. He is 75 years old. And he was like, you know what? And this was in July, by the way. This was like this last July. So in 2025.
Yeah.
You know what? You know who I miss? My old treasure. My good old 1958 Cessna Skyhawk. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I know what a Cessna is.
It's like a little tiny scary airplane.
It's a tiny boy.
It's like the kind that, like, when you're afraid of flying, it's like a big no. Like, maybe you'll fly, maybe you'll fly to Texas for 3 hours on a 727 or whatever. Big, big no on the Cessnas for the people who don't like the airplanes. They're the ones that go like, you know, like that Indiana Jones, like, flies into the mountains.
Yeah. Everything in that kind of plane.
And so he had it at the Corona Municipal Airport. So we went to go check it out and fly it or whatever you do when you have a plane. It's a beautiful plane. It has like a nice rainbow color scheme. Really neat. But it was gone. And, he was so confused that it was missing. That, you know, because you'd think, like, how could somebody be stealing a plane, right? Like, how could you steal a plane? How could you get a plane out without noticing? But then the cops tell him two other times also the plane has recently been checked out. And not just that, somebody has also been maintaining the plane and repairing the plane.
Listen, if you're going to steal my shit, at least take care of it.
Yeah. So it's, I guess for like a month, somebody's been flying this plane. And some people said it was a middle-aged woman. And he has no idea who or why. And he says, quote, someone breaks into your house, they're looking for jewelry or cash, right? But in this case, what's the purpose? Like, it's like if someone breaks my window. Yeah, it's like if someone breaks my window, then they put a new one up. He's like, what the hell is this? So at first, he panicked when it was missing, right?
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of how this went down. He then gets a call from Laverne police saying, hey, at Brackett Field, we found your plane. So it flew. So basically, according to FlightAware, what happened with this plane originally was that it took off from Corona. Do you know where that is?
Oh, it took off from Corona?
Like from
Corona, New Mexico?
No, Corona, California.
Oh. No. Yeah. Okay, got you.
I believe. Which is like just out, just like Orange County area, like little past Disneyland, let's say, a little further south than Disneyland, I think. And then somebody flew it July 26th for an hour to Palm Springs, then 20 more minutes to Brackett Field.
Okay.
So this dude was so confused, he pulled the battery from the plane, and he's gonna break it down, clean it, and inspect it. And he took the battery out so nobody could use it. But he came back on the August 3rd. Plane's gone again.
Wait, what?
And now,
his own battery?
Yeah, and it's because he's getting the call from the police again saying, oh, hey, we're at the San Gabriel Valley Airport now, which is also in California, which is like El Monte vibes. And we have the plane here. It's just weirding everybody out. New headset in the plane now, new battery inside the plane. That's expensive shit.
Yeah.
That's not like the type of gear that is like, you know, there's not like a Squire guitars version of airplane gear that's like shitty.
No.
You know what I mean? Like you have to buy the real Tiffany shit.
Yeah.
Rap's
phone. If I was this guy who owned the plane at that point, if this guy bought a new battery, new headset, I'd be less mad about the plane being stolen and I'd be more curious as to who the fuck is using the plane and why they're well off enough to replace the parts, but they don't have a plane of their own.
Yeah. I don't know. Another person said they saw this lady, 40 or 50s, 5'3", which is pretty short.
Yeah, really short.
No video of this lady anywhere. But if there's a silver lining to the story, the silver lining is that this guy now got to the San Gabriel Valley Airport instead of where he was at with his plane. And he said, quote, this has better people. Better lounge than Corona. A little bit farther, but this airport can be my home base. So this thief stole this dude's plane, fixed it up, replaced the battery, replaced the headset, and then took it to an airport that he now wants it to be at instead of the one that he had it at. And he's like,
and they also have no security cameras? That's crazy.
I guess like there's so many security checkpoints to get out to those planes that it's probably silly.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude. I hope they figure it out, and I hope we have an update on this later.
Yeah, I had to save it for a mini-sode because it feels like there's going to be an amazing answer to this question, right?
Yes.
Like
it's going to be like a spurned ex-lover or something.
Like that case that was happening with that fucking cult, the Zizians.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Like, I don't know if you were like clocking exactly like the dates of that, but that was like a lot of that shit happened like very recently.
That was all recent.
Yeah. So that story just kept getting crazier and crazier. So this one feels a little bit more chicken soupy, let's say, right? Let's say,
yeah,
it feels a little bit more, like the answer is going to be like, it was his biological daughter that he didn't know about, who's also a pilot, who, you know, it feels like it's gonna have a good ending. I hope, hopefully this person doesn't just like shoot him one time.
Yeah, that would be a wild fucking ending. Just blam, blam, and it's my plane now.
Yeah, he walks in and she's like, who are you?
I got a couple articles that are super short. They have kind of to do with each other, and I stumbled across them doing putting together an episode of The Molecule Mindset, which if you want to go check it out, is me exploring psychedelics and my experiences with them.
/The Molecule Mindset?
It is youtube.com/@The Molecule
Mindset. Oh my God. Exactly. youtube.com/@The Molecule Mindset. That's where you go.
That's where you go. So both articles have to do with the brain, both pretty fucking recent. And, the first one is, for a long time. Well, I mean, the name of the article is Surface Optimization Governs the Local Design of Physical Networks, which is extremely boring sounding. And it's published in Nature magazine literally like 3 or 4 days ago at this point. And for a long time, the scientists have been trying to figure out how the brain generates like its the length of its neurons, why the brain folds the way it does. And a lot of the time, what they did is they modeled what they called efficient networks, which are using length minimization. Again, you would think through evolution, the minimal length something is, the better it is because you're using less resources in your body to create it, right?
And that's usually how
evolution goes.
Parallels with like iPhone, right? Like it's sure, same kind of
technology.
Deal. Yeah.
The assumption was basically that evolution wants to save material by making everything as minimal as possible. But length minimization could not and did not account for the fact that like these neurons have thickness and surface area. And so when they would try and model a 3D network using the minimizing length mode, it would basically just be what physicists called quote unquote intractable. It was just mess. And the model made no sense. It never made any sense. However, this is where it becomes fascinating. There was a recent discovery that a mathematical formula in string theory actually applies to this and allows researchers to map neurons appropriately. In string theory.
Wait, what?
Yes. And this is not the first time I learned when I was researching
this. They found a new Fibonacci type thing in nature, but it's from string theory?
It's from string theory. One of their fucking things. Math requirement things. They're fucking formulas. There we go. They're math formulas that they use for measurement of what they would consider a string actually works for the brain surface area. In string theory, basically, it goes, a string isn't just a point. It basically, as it moves through space-time, it sweeps out a surface called what scientists called, quote-unquote, a world sheet. And to calculate how strings behave, physicists use the what's known as the Nambu-Goto action. I'm not even going to pretend to know what the fuck that means. We just got to get through this article.
The
Nambu-Goto action.
Is that like the in Kill Bill when they kill you by touching you five times?
I think that's exactly what it is, actually. It's a mathematical formula used to calculate and minimize the area of that surface. Researchers discovered that the math required to minimize the surface of a biological tube, like a neuron or a blood vessel, is identical to the math used to describe world sheets of strings in high dimensional space, with string theory.
But why could that be?
So I'll keep going here. Basically, string theorists have spent 50 years developing incredibly sophisticated tools to solve surface minimization problems within string theory. And the researchers were able to borrow the tools that they basically spent 50 years developing and it actually solved the optimization problems of the brain. Now, like, it doesn't really like give any sort of credence to string theory being real. But it does imply that mathematical...
What do you mean? Wait. Okay, so then if it's not real, if string theory is not real, but this is true...
Well, it could be real. It could be real, but we don't... There's no definitive evidence that string theory is the actual way the universe is. But it does imply that mathematical structures discovered by string theorists are universal in some way. It suggests that string theory could be more... Like, it's basically, it's mathematical language that... is able to be used in other areas. So I don't really know how to explain it. Like, this is where I'm like, this is why it's a short article for me, because I don't understand the
I feel like it's a short article if you want it to be, but this could be an article that I spend 3 years trying to understand if I wanted to. Like, I would have
it to- helps yeah. explain together why the brain it has the folds it has and why neurons are as long and thick as they are. But I don't like, it's just one of those things where the string theory scientists just created math that works in physics, I guess, or biology.
I'm interested in how often string theory appears in nature already.
It's geometry, right? So, like, I would imagine a lot.
Well, but in biology, it's interesting to me. To me, agreed. In the same way that, like, the Fibonacci sequence and other things, like, constantly appear in, like, genes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's interesting to me. And if this is somehow also that, there's just something about the fact that something so complicated could be represented in the human body is fucked up, right? Like, there, like, doesn't that make you feel like a little bit like if you like went and got a surgery and they opened you and there was wires in there? Like, a little bit?
Like, that's kind of what it is, right? Yeah. Like, that's kind of what veins are. And like, that's kind of what it is, biological wires. But yeah, what it's basically saying is like, well, at least string theory's math is good. And like, I don't really know what the fuck else that means. But the other thing this all ties into, well, not all ties into, but another brain paper in the last article I brought is that they were able also for the first time to break down how psilocybin rewires your brain actively. And this was a study that's published in Cell. And it provides a biological blueprint for how psilocybin physically architects the brain. And the way they did it is they used rabies as like a tracking mechanism, like how rabies spreads through the brain. And then having the brain on psilocybin, they were through the rabies actively able to see how the brain starts rewiring
itself. They used the rabies as like a tracer.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, rabies.
And that's nuts. Basically, what they learned is that the research focused on the prefrontal cortex, which is where the high level thought and like your sense of self is to be understood. Under the influence of psilocybin, the brain begins to thin out the connections that allow the cortex to talk to itself. And then these internal loops are often the physical manifestation of the DMN, which is the default mode network.
From a college, this isn't like some like jungle guy in a shack.
I'll give you the article. Yeah, this is like an actual study with doctors. here you go. They put it in here.
I just have to see some kind of
Go ahead. No,
visual of
again.
This.
As always, it's in mice. It's in mice that they're doing this in, not people.
Of course.
Rabies viral tracing shows how psilocybin reshapes brain viral connectivity. Tracing. Right? There's like a ton of names at the top.
That's just such a crazy con. That sounds like something from a comic book.
I know. It's like weird how they do it. Like, it's kind of fun in a way, though. I like it.
No, I think that's fascinating.
So yeah, the brain starts to thin out connections in your cortex during psilocybin. And this is where like a lot of the default mode network activity happens when overactive is associated with repetitive circular thought patterns. You know, when you're really anxious, like you and I are like diagnosed anxiety people.
Sure.
You know, those thoughts that just run and run in circles and circles and circles and circles and you can't stop them.
Yes.
That's prefrontal cortex. And that's exactly what psilocybin is thinning those connections, which is why your brain is able to kind of like buzz out those
thoughts.
So
are you saying we need to give AI psilocybin so that it doesn't find consciousness in a recursive loop?
Or what if giving it psilocybin lets it find consciousness for real?
That would be tight. We make Vision instead of Ultron.
Yes. Oh, that'd be so much. That's the good way we do this, is make Vision.
Dude,
we make
those Vision. Those Zizians would be so proud of us.
they really would.
Yeah.
The other thing they saw is that while these internal loops and stuff are weakened because they're culling it, it's also growing new physical connections, specifically dendritic spines, which are the base of a neuron.
That sounds like a Halo word. That sounds like, yeah.
Yo, I got the dendritic spines. This is all over. I'm going to fucking obliterate the enemy
spines,
team.
Dude, with plus six.
Basically, what they found is the drug kind of acts as like a weird like switchboard operator. It's unplugging cables and plugging in new cables. And that's why it seems to actively affect where depression and anxiety are, like physically, as opposed to a lot of the drugs, which Band-Aid.
So it's like Inside Out, except like Marie Kondo shows up in there and just like starts exactly. helping everybody out.
Yeah, exactly. What obviously the more studies what need to be done.
That's crazy. But it makes
it's cool. It's super. The brain is so fucking cool, dude.
I feel like that's got a high potential for being something evolutionary.
Yeah. And speaking purely from my own biased experience, like mushrooms have been in phenomenally therapeutic for me, as long as you understand what you're doing and, you know, you actively like integrate your experiences, but like, it's been wildly therapeutic for some of my like more difficult like anxiety and depression and shit.
They have an interesting role in the history of spirituality.
And I can see why, because I have had
psychedelics,
so many weird experiences on them that I can't explain.
The ones that I always, the people that like when I talk to people about like, oh, I went on a psychedelic trip and I changed everything. It's always shrooms or ayahuasca. Always.
I can only speak from shrooms, but it is the ones that sit with me the most are the ones where the voices didn't belong to anybody I knew nor myself, particularly the one where it was like a feminine energy voice and was just like, no, that's a whole other one. Like I'm talking about the voices that are not belonged, but the one where I spoke to that was weird and still sits as extremely weird. And he was extremely, because it was extremely him the whole time.
The way
he
that like, you tell the story feels very much like there is another person in the story.
That's where I'm like, it definitely wasn't me. Yeah. It was so TB code. Like everything he said to me, like, we'll end this, we'll wrap this. But like, just the first question I asked him, for those who are listening, if you don't know who TB is, one of our closest friends passed a few years ago, Total Biscuit. Big video game influence, very British. And I asked him, like, when his voice showed up, I was like, what are you doing here? And he goes, I don't bloody fucking know, but here I am. And I'm like, what the fuck? And that's such a TB response of being like,
closest person in your life to Alan Moore, so he showed up.
yeah, exactly that. But these studies are awesome. I think there's so much that needs to be researched in terms of the psychedelic world. And
I'm still stuck on the fact that string theory applies directly to the way in which our biology grows inside of our bodies.
And logically, I know it has nothing to do with the string theory being real, but there's still a part of me that's like, does that imply
string theory might be real? Well, my point is, logically, it actually doesn't make sense that, to me, if we're just talking about like simple logic, if it is in nature, to me, that highly increases the chances that it's really some mathematical principle and not just a coincidence that there's folds in our fucking brains that have to dictate.
Well, like this kind of math can figure out how it all works.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's like,
what it was. So that's made up then? Like, no. Like, so just we made up some math like Terrence Howard, and then our brains are like that. That's what that would be like.
Everybody in the comments calling us stupid because we're not educated. You're correct, first of all, but also please tell us how we're wrong.
I'm just
because
talking,
this is cool as fuck.
Yeah, like, okay. In the 60s, right? When all this shit hit for the first time, right? Do you think it was the scientists that knew shit about this that took it and ran with it? No. I'm just trying to turn this around in my mind. I'm not an expert. I'm a comedian. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt right now. It is after. I don't even want to think about Mathis right now because I feel almost guilty that it's so late where he's at. It's the middle of the night right now. We are like in the dark talking about
this. It's 1:30 in the morning for me.
If it didn't feel like that, I don't know what your middle of the nights are like, but that's the vibe right now. I can hear.
That's how my nights are always.
Yeah. And it's.
But it's pattern recognition in a way, right? Like you're saying, if you see these patterns in every, like these mathematical, geometrical patterns on the smallest thing to the largest thing, why wouldn't it scale out? Why wouldn't it be potentially the pattern of the universe and like the pattern of reality? Because, you know,
the science does matter. Let me say that first. The science does definitely matter.
I've learned so much from our like more educated users. Of course, I love listeners.
I love when somebody. There's been a couple people who've made some really nice videos with like even like nice production value that were really really thoughtful and really really good. But my point is, the science does matter. However, the thought experiments that we're going through as a result of these trippy things that we're learning about, even if we're not correct exactly about what's going on, it's changing the shape of our brains just thinking about this stuff because it's new stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's like a new way of thinking about consciousness, right? Like, and think about what the stuff that we don't have words for that are true. You know, we can't even access that stuff. Yeah.
It's so weird because I've become this person that I hear on the outside and I'm like, I wouldn't listen to this guy at all. But it's also that part where like sometimes like seeing the same thing as somebody else on psychedelics, somebody you've never spoken to, you've only seen a video of after your experience and hearing them explain like exactly fucking one for one, exactly with all the weirdness of the thing you saw that I don't know. I don't really know.
Does it matter? But if you have any answers about actually why that's happening? No.
And the answer is no. Chop wood, carry water, baby. You still have to live life.
Yeah, it's still weird. It's still fucking weird. Even if it's just that, oh, like this one fold in your brain makes you see little guys every time you take these mushrooms, right? Every human has the fold. Just the fact, just the very notion that nature got us to that point where it made a fold in our brain where we can see little guys every time we eat a mushroom. Insane.
That drug sounds crazy.
Put that on a shirt, bro.
Yeah, please. Can we make
put that whole sentence merch on a shirt? Yeah.
Oh man.
Thank you. New Year, guys.
Merry New Year. Happy Corner Fest.
Yeah, end of Corner Fest. Official.
We'll see you next time. It's dead. Yeah. It's dead. It's dead until next year.
Corner Fest 27. Coming soon.
Yeah, that's coming up.
One more every time. Yeah.
Yeah, until you retire
or die. Until I quit doing it because I don't like doing it anymore. All right.
Okay. We'll see you next week. Thank you all so much, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.